Our lesson tonight is a continuation or a sequel to the lesson that we had 2 weeks ago on Sunday night as we talked about matters that pertain to our speech, things that we say, and the attitudes with which we say them. And I recall that in our discussion on that Sunday night 2 weeks ago, we established the fact that we are human and we are not perfect. And often, even with the very best of intentions, we misstep at times in the choosing of our words. We often say things that upon reflection and looking back at what we said, we wish we hadn't said them or wish that we had said them in a different way. Such is the normal course of our conversations and our interacting with one another, and there never will be a time, I don't believe, when our speech and our talking and our conversation and the words that we choose and use will be actually perfect as long as we're living here on this earth. And yet at the same time, I believe it is very, very important that we take to heart the words from the text that I have chosen to use to get us started tonight, Psalm 19, verse 14, where the psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." There is a dual reference in that verse that I'm sure you noticed even before we read it. David speaks of the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. While we may not always think about the connection between the two, those two are very strongly connected. In fact, the wise man would say in the book of Proverbs on more than one occasion something to the effect of, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, a passage that we used in our last discussion on this subject, speaking to those who were perhaps not being very careful at all with their words and with what they were saying, Jesus said this, beginning in verse 33 of Matthew 12, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." I cannot help but believe, and my belief grows stronger with every day that I live, that we need to pay more attention to the words that we speak before we speak them. There are several ways that we need to examine what we are about to say from time to time. We need to ask ourselves, for example, is it true? Is what I'm about to say really true? Do I know for sure that this is the fact before I repeat it and before I begin to think in other things that will be connected to this matter? Do I really know for sure that this is true? It's always a good practice before we say something to ask ourselves, is it needful for me to say this? Surely that has to be a part of the application to the Lord's words there in Matthew chapter 12, where he said that we will give an account for every careless word. Some translations render that every idle word. Before I say this, I need to ask myself, is it really necessary for me to say it? Is this something that is really needed at the moment, Or would this perhaps be an occasion when it would be best not to say this? You know, there are very many times when something may be absolutely true. There may not be any question as to whether it is factual or whether it really has to do with an actuality. But there are some things that just literally don't need to be said. From time to time, we may find ourselves in possession of information that certainly does not need to be repeated. It may be that that information may cause harm to someone who otherwise would not suffer the harm. It may be that that information may be of such nature that it might be misunderstood by someone. It may be, someone says, well, I can't worry about what the other fellow is going to think about what I say. And perhaps therein lies part of our problem. We need to ask ourselves, before I say this, how will it be received? Is this going to mislead someone? Is it really necessary for me to say it? And surely there will be occasions as we speak and talk, we might need to ask ourselves, is this the kindest thing that I could say under the circumstances? There will always be those who consider matters and traits such as kindness and goodness and gentleness to be a signification of some kind of weakness. Those who have that attitude and hold to those opinions certainly are and have removed themselves from the truth taught in Scripture. So many times we use our words as literal weapons. I told you of the woman who had gone to the doctor and he diagnosed her with rabies, and he walked out of the room and came back a few minutes later and she was writing furiously on a piece of paper, and he asked her if she was making out her will, and she says, no, I'm making out a list of people I'm going to bite. We sometimes use our words to cause harm to others, even sometimes intentionally. Ask yourself, is this kind? Is this the kind of thing that Jesus would say in this particular circumstance? According to my recollection, on that night, a couple of weeks back, we introduced this subject, and we introduced a term, trash talk. Trash talk is a term that's used quite a bit on the athletic field among the competitors, and they talk about the trash talk that goes on. It's the teasing and the challenging and sometimes in language that is not appropriate at all, but it's referred to as trash talk. How many times do we find ourselves engaging in the practice of trash talk? How many of God's people seem to be doing a lot of trash talking? Well, you understand exactly what I'm talking about when I say trash talk. The kind of talk that is not good for us, not good for those who hear, but that which really belongs in the garbage can. A good example would be deceit. Saying things that are deceitful, things that are not true. Now, there are many people who find themselves tempted to say something deceitful or untrue because they find themselves in a situation where they are looking for an avenue of escape. I have noted in my experience that there have been those that I've come in contact with who have engaged in that very kind of deceitful talking so much that the truth has lost all of its value to them. In fact, on occasions, it seems that they'd rather tell something that's not true when it would be easier to tell something that is true. Deceit and lying and deceitfulness. Gossip is another example. From time to time, we may find ourselves in possession of some information about someone else. And we use the term sometimes a juicy bit of information. And that usually means it's derogatory information. That usually means it would cause some kind of harm or embarrassment to someone. And then we find ourselves very tempted to tell someone else about it. Again, there's an occasion when we need to ask ourselves, is this the kind of thing that really needs to be said? is it kind to say this, to repeat this, to pass this on? How many times have we gone up to someone and said, you know, I heard so-and-so. I just want to make sure this is true. So-and-so said you did so-and-so, or so-and-so said you said so-and-so. And before long, we've got the ball rolling, so to speak. Impure speech surely is one of those things that is condemned in Ephesians 4:29, where Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may administer grace to those who hear. Self-promotion is a way of speaking that some people have adopted because they feel inferior or because they feel that nobody really knows how great they are, and so they have to spend all of their time telling about themselves and promoting themselves in everything that they say. They're the kind of people who cannot carry on a conversation without bringing themselves into it and talking about I this and me that. You've seen the pattern. You've been around them. After a while, it gets very wearying. Those self-promoters. Slander is the practice of saying bad things about other people. Slander has become a legal term. But there's a lot of slander that goes on that isn't necessarily illegal according to the law of the land. Sometimes words can be slanderous simply because of their intent, simply because of the way in which they are delivered. Prejudice or prejudicial speaking, speaking against someone. Usually when the word prejudice is used, we think, first of all, of race relations. Certainly a lot of prejudice has been kicked around through the years as people have considered other people to be inferior to themselves because of perhaps a different nationality or maybe a different color of skin. And yet there's a lot of prejudicial talking that doesn't have anything to do with race relations or nationalities. Anytime we speak words that are intended to be against someone in order to give ourselves a lift or an advantage, I believe such speaking is wrong. Complaining. How could you read the Old Testament account of the Israelites? They wandered in the wilderness and come away with any other impression than the fact that God does not like murmuring and complaining. This is the kind of trash talking that we refer to, and this trash talk fouls our relationships with others. It fouls our reputations. It fouls our ability to love and help those who are around us. I believe in that previous lesson, I introduced you to six terms that I said we would discuss in detail a little bit later. This evening, I'd like for us to look for the rest of our time at some of these contaminants. Contaminants that may be lodged in our hearts that will often be visible in the way that we speak. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they talk. That very fact was part of what condemned Peter for that little outburst of cursing and swearing as he denied Jesus in Matthew chapter 26. In verse 73, someone came up to him and he said, "You're one of them. Your speech betrays you." They were, of course, referring to his accent, his manner of speaking. But in a spiritual way, there's a lot that is sometimes betrayed or revealed about our hearts and about our attitudes by the things that we say. And so let's look at those contaminants. First of all, I would suggest to you that one of worthy of our consideration is the contaminant of imbalance. Many times an imbalanced heart and consequently an imbalanced spiritual life will be revealed in the way that we talk, the way that we speak. We need to maintain carefully certain basic priorities in our lives. We understand the fact that when we sometimes let the priorities that are actually lesser in nature become more important than the priorities that are major in nature, things can get out of balance, so to speak. For example, when a man begins to regard his occupation and his time and hours spent in the workplace as being more important than the relationship that he has with his family, or perhaps in particular his children, we say that he's out of balance. And we've invented the term workaholic that we use to describe that kind of situation where everything other than one's career or job or work is pushed aside and given no more regard because the only thing that's important to him is his work. There are a lot of things that can get out of balance in our lives. But suffice it to say that anytime we let something or someone become a replacement for the Lord in our heart, things very quickly get out of balance. It's usually easy to tell when someone has their priorities out of balance, often by the way that they speak, the words that they use, the kind of speech and the kind of thoughts and attitudes that drive the speaking. Number two is insecurity. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus did not say that we should go through life with such an inferiority complex that we're always afraid to try to do anything, always afraid to ask anything. In fact, if I remember correctly, I believe the Lord said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Jesus praised in the parable the woman who was so persistent that she kept asking for that which she needed. An individual who becomes so insecure, so full of fear in his or her heart that they no longer are willing to try to grow and progress and accomplish things for the sake of the Lord's cause suffers from insecurity. And it's usually easy to tell when one suffers from that by the way that they speak or some of the things that they say. Number three, injustice. When we find ourselves holding a conviction or a deep sense of having been wronged, or the sense of having been mistreated, or having been harmed, and holding on to that and letting a weakness or a wound in our heart just continue to bubble and fester, as the terminology goes, when we have an attitude that says, "Everybody's against me," we're suffering from the contaminant of injustice. An inflated sense of who they are who are against me. Number four would be insensitivity. Coarse and harsh state of heart. Wanting nothing to do with other people. Having no interest whatsoever in their well-being. Not caring if they succeed or fail. Taking that to its normal extension, tragic extension, not caring whether they're lost or saved. Sometimes our hearts may become corrupted or polluted with this insensitivity that causes us to have little or no care for those around us, without any concern as to how they feel or what we do to them with the words that we say. Number five, immaturity. Acting like spiritual children. spiritual spoiled children often. Those who need to be helped and pampered and looked after. Not just at first, but continually, over and over and over. Those who never seem to make any progress. Those who spend little time in exercise of the spiritual muscles that need to be developed as we grow through the Christian life. Those who, in fact, never do get around to growing. It's easy to notice those kind of people because of the way and the things that they say. We often reveal and betray a certain immaturity, spiritually speaking, by the way that we talk. And then the last one on the list, ignorance. In the beginning, most everybody's ignorant. The best I can remember, I was born ignorant. Fortunately, I moved away from that ignorance. Fortunately, I was able to mature both physically and mentally. We've learned today to be able to identify when something's wrong with a child that never learns. The Apostle Paul described some people as ever learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Those who are perpetually ignorant, even though they are constantly exposed to what they need to be learning and knowing. The contaminant of ignorance in our hearts. Even according to what the Lord said there in Matthew chapter 5 or chapter 12, those kind of things will become evident by the way that we speak, the things that we say. The good tree will bring forth the good fruit. The bad tree will bring forth the bad fruit. And in the words of Jesus, if you live bad, you won't be able to say good. And again, the words of the psalmist, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Our relationship with God is something that is of premium importance. It determines the success of what we should be doing here upon this earth, living so as to please and glorify God. And yet God is not pleased and God is not glorified when we do not have the right relationship with Him. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope that you won't wait another day to do that. But that you would come believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away. If perhaps you've done that but have allowed sin to come back into your life and separate you once again from God, the Lord has provided in His great mercy and wisdom for us what we call that second law of pardon, which says that those who have wandered astray are welcome to come back, acknowledging their waywardness, seeking the forgiveness and the restoration that God offers to those who will return.